there's moonbeams in your elbows, and there's rivers in your head. And I wanna see you forever, babe, forever. Don't take me back in time now, but there's nothing for me there.
Welcome to On the Wing Podcast, fueled by Purina Pro Plan. Today's conversation is focused on a topic that a lot of people don't ever consider, but they should. That's hearing loss associated with wing shooting. So helping me today is a guy with a lot of hearing loss.
Oh, yeah. Depends who I'm talking to.
We probably shouldn't be joking about it, but you do have some hearing loss as a relatively young guy. That's Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever's Director of Communications, Jared Wicklund. It's been a minute since you've been on the podcast.
Yeah, it has. Thanks for having me here. I'm pretty passionate about this subject, and we're going to get into it. But you know, hearing loss and the things that come with that, I think it's honestly a quality of life issue. At least it has been for me, and I'll go through kind of the steps I took from going to the doctor's office to coming to Starkey's Center for Excellence to a number of different things. But it's affected me in a number of different ways, and I'm happy to get the chance to talk about it.
And joining us from Starkey, which is the parent company of Soundgear, and our listeners, our members will know Soundgear as the official hearing protection partner of Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. We've got two guests from Soundgear, the Chief Hearing Health Officer. Does it say that on your business card?
It does.
Dr. Yeah. Dave Fabry. Did I pronounce it right?
You did indeed.
Okay. And we also have one of our primary point of contacts for our organization with Soundgear, West. Just gave you a new name.
I've been called a lot worse.
West Christ. What's your title, Wes?
So I am Soundgear's field sales representative.
Okay.
Yep. So I kind of focus more, doing a lot more in the shooting world, hunting world, as well as trying to kind of expand our reach more, industrial manufacturing space also.
And on your resume now, one of the bullets is tour guide.
Good tour guide. Yes, I am. I'm becoming quite good at it.
Because we just got finished. You showed Jared and I. You said this is a 40-acre campus, roughly.
I think we're right around there, right, Dave? Yep.
So we've been in, I think this is our third building.
Third building.
Third building of the morning.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We've had a tour of kind of shipping, receiving, 3D printers where molds are made. R&D, we were in the room? The torture chamber?
The torture chamber, multiple.
And in the torture chamber. What's your recollection of the torture chamber, Jared?
I think there's some funny stories about that later. We can talk about hearing loss and cocaine. We better tell that story later.
No.
I was not on this tour. Yeah.
But it was a great tour, and my phone also tells me that I'm right on track for my fitness for the day for the number of steps we've taken so far here around 11 o'clock. So it's going well.
Well, on your bingo card, if you're listening at home and you didn't have the cocaine box on the hearing protection, sorry about that. But I didn't have it on there either. But long-winded. Well, just tell the story real quickly.
Well, we're going through the torture chambers where they show sort of the rigorous testing that they do, everything from environmental to the sound side of it. And Bob brought up the question, like, what's one of the goofiest things you've ever had come in, what's happened to a hearing aid out in the field? And our guest told us that.
And these weren't sound gears. They were just
standard hearing aids.
Let's be very clear about that.
Yes, just standard hearing aids that one of them got turned in, and they couldn't tell exactly what was wrong. And they finally did the testing of it. And it wasn't dust. It wasn't water. It came from a nursing home. And there was evidence of cocaine in one of the hearing aids. So we all just said, "Wow, that's the type of old person's home that I want to be involved with when I'm older." So it was pretty funny stuff.
If we haven't hooked you on this hearing loss episode, we hopefully have now.
Yeah.
Very, very entertaining morning, but it was really fascinating. We learned a lot. It's amazing, kind of the R&D and just the torture chamber stands out for how much effort you guys, Wes, put through your products through to make sure that they're fail safe.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it would be cool if everybody could get that, that tour that we did today to see our product. And like you said, the rigorous testing that it goes through, because that's the biggest question anybody has on these. Well, how durable are they going to be? Obviously going through there, you can really see these things are built to, I mean, be little tanks in your ear, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they take a beating, they take a wallop for what they are as a small product.
The drop machine that you showed us, where they test it for dropping down and the amount of force that they goes onto, I wasn't sure what to expect there. I mean, pretty straightforward, but the amount of force that is going on or going into some of those hearing aid tests, I think is pretty cool. I mean, and you're building a new one. They've got a new one now for people are getting taller. So they got a 6-foot test. That was a 36-inch test. But there's a lot of force going on to those hearing aids. And then, you know, putting them below water for a certain amount of time and you know, all those types of things I thought were pretty cool.
Yeah, I could interject for a minute, because one of the things you raise is sometimes there are standards, national or international standards, and the water resistance and dust resistance, as hunters are frequently going to encounter, there's a standard, and these devices, the Soundgear Phantom devices, exceed IP68 rating, which means that they're effectively waterproof and dustproof in the environments where people would wear these devices. Wow. We're not saying that they can go out and scuba dive with them, but you know, in the environments, in perspiration, precipitation, the elements, they are going to be bulletproof in that environment to be. They have the highest rating that they can achieve on this type of an electronic device working in a hostile work environment to exceed that dust and moisture standard. But then to your point, when we're also looking at other types of things that these devices would be exposed to, that drop test, there's no standard for that. So then we combine our mechanical engineering labs with our quality labs to think, and you use the phrase that I do, the little chamber of horrors, the torture test, where we're going to think of ways that we can try to anticipate people might use these devices and the type of things that they could be subjected to where there isn't a standard. So when a standard exists, we want to meet or exceed that standard. If there isn't a standard, we're going to try to build one and then try to break them here so that when people are wearing them out in the field and
out
in the
wild, you don't have to worry about it.
You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think about it. So very important point you raise.
It's almost like you've been in my truck. Take a licking and keep on ticking, right?
Yep.
Before we go too far into talking about the products and hearing loss prevention, let's hear a little bit about each of you, your background. And we could start with Wes. Bird hunting, just tell us, let our listeners get to know you as we talk about this.
Yeah, so I guess I've been, next week, we talked about this early, next week will be my 10-year anniversary here at Starkey, so I've had numerous amounts of positions I'm in, but now with Soundgear is right up my alley because I am in the hunting and shooting world. I did not grow up in a hunting family. When we moved from Missouri, we had this nice house out kind of out in the country, and we had a lake in the backyard, and all of a sudden one morning at about 6:45, there was all these gunshots going off in our backyard, and we didn't know what was happening, but it was opening a duck season. So our neighbors were down there duck hunting, and we talked to them about it, and that's how we kind of got into my introduction into the hunting world. So it was fun, addicted to it. I love hunting. I love being in the outdoors and everything that comes with it. Started with waterfowl. Then once it came into season, we'd get done duck hunting in the morning. We'd go to the other side of the lake where it was all cattail and fields, and we'd go pheasant hunting. And so now it's just kind of evolved from there to now I got two boys, 6 and 8 years old, kind of getting them up the coming up the ladder as well here. And so now our discussion is, what kind of a dog are we going to get? So
6 and 8. And I'm assuming that they're wearing sound gears in the field when they go walking with you?
Well, usually we're doing just earmuffs with them.
At that age.
I mean, I think with our new product that we can probably talk about a little bit later here might be a good fit for them. But
there's your tease, ladies.
Exactly. I mean, not as good as Jared's was.
Way to set it up.
But, yeah, I mean, that's – I mean, we always joke and say, I mean, obviously – you know, the best hearing protection is the stuff you're wearing. So, you know, as long as you got it on your ears and starting young, as we, I think, can all attest that we were not the best advocates for hearing protection when we were younger. But as you get older and wiser in life, you make some changes. So,
doctor, tell us a little
Dave,
bit of
please.
A
d- yes, sure.
Where do you, are you an audiologist?
I am an audiologist.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you know you always wanted to be an audiologist, or how did that happen?
Very interesting question, and one for a longer discussion. But I grew up in Wisconsin, okay. in Green Bay.
Oh, go Pack, go!
Indeed, indeed. Okay. My dogs. I'm also a dog lover. My dogs are named Vince Lombardi and Curly Lambeau. So
you have
go
four
figure.
Dogs.
Two
or
dogs.
Two dogs.
Curly. Okay. And Lombardi.
Okay. And we're sitting in a purple studio. And,
yeah, it's Prince Purple.
Gotcha.
That we can agree on.
Yeah.
And but so. I thought I was going to be a veterinarian growing up. So okay. My family were all dairy farmers, except for my dad, who worked at a paper mill in Green Bay. And so I grew up, ever since I could say veterinarian, I thought that's what I was going to want to do. I've always had a lifelong love of animals and conservation. And so I have a great appreciation. Family members, a lot of them are hunters, various forms. I don't have time for hunting.
We need to have you make time.
Yeah,
right?
I think we'll have to work on that. After starting school at the University of Minnesota, where I have, I like to say I have 3 degrees below zero. I have my bachelor's, master's, and PhD from Minnesota.
Okay.
But I, along the way, discovered a love of hearing through the chinchilla and worked in a lab where a lot of what we know about human hearing is based on animal research from the chinchilla and from the guinea pig.
Really?
And so I found audiology.
Chinchilla.
Yeah.
I'm blanking on what the heck a chinchilla is.
It's a rodent.
Rodent?
Okay. It comes out of, I think, Argentina.
Yeah,
huh, I believe so.
And they're nocturnal. So when you're using them in lab testing, you have to sort of have it dark during the day when you want to test them because they like to stay up all night.
Huh.
But their hearing mechanism is remarkably similar to humans.
Really?
Yeah. And so a lot of what we learned, particularly, I worked, of relevance perhaps to this discussion, I worked for one of the world experts in terms of the damage risk criteria that were used to establish what safe limits for noise exposure on a daily basis. His lab, W. Dixon Ward, was one of my mentors. He was at the University of Minnesota, and I worked for him. That's how I find my way in through audiology, was through experiments that led to the OSHA and NIOSH standards for what a worker in a noisy work environment could be exposed to safely before they need to use hearing protection. And then my path led me to Mayo Clinic in the sunny southeastern tropical portion of Minnesota, where I spent quite a bit of time there. I've been with Starkey for 15 years in a variety of roles.
How did somebody figure out that a chinchilla is closely anatomically from a hearing perspective to a human being?
You need really little headphones, and you put them on, and they have tiny little front feet.
You've been asked this question before.
Over time, people that study animal researchers, they were looking at really the range of hearing that chinchillas have. And then their dynamic range of hearing, the how soft sounds are and loud sounds and the frequency response, similar to what you do across species. And there's certainly been a lot of people over the years, probably starting with the person that won the Nobel Prize. There's one person in the field of hearing so far that has won a Nobel Prize. His name was George von Bekesche. He won the Nobel Prize, I think, in 1950 for his experiments, which were largely done on different populations of animals and humans to look at how their auditory system was put together. And out of that, in looking at a whole bunch of different species, found that the chinchilla and the guinea pig were the ones that were probably had the closest parallels to humans, in particular for the study of noise exposure.
Wow.
Didn't think you'd get that today. Now the bingo card includes
cocaine, chinchillas and guinea pigs. Chinchillas. Where else is this going to go?
Hey, it's early yet.
Yeah. Just getting started.
Or 10 minutes in. Here we go. All right. Well, now's the appropriate time for a transition then. So we'll give a shout out to our national dog food partners at Purina Pro Plan, the official dog food of On the Wing podcast and our wildlife habitat mission. All three of my pups, Esky, Gitchy, and Winter, all eat Purina Pro Plan Sport, not just because Purina supports the wildlife habitat conservation mission of our organization, but because Purina has a whole team of the world's best scientists and nutritionists standing behind their dog food. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. Purina Pro Plan, nutrition that performs. All right. So we kind of learned the origin story of hearing study, yeah. Right? Tell us a little bit about, you know, Jared was asking me as we were building kind of this game plan for today. He's like, when's the first time you remember talking about hearing protection as a hunter? Mm-hmm. Do you know, Doctor, when kind of that component of hearing got to be part of everybody's kind of vernacular, where they're yeah. worried about the sound blast of mm-hmm. sitting in a duck blind, or, you know, getting into a covey of sharptails and yeah. those three shotgun blasts, you know, being concerned about it. Because I don't remember that as a kid growing up in the 80s. Yeah. When was the tipping point?
I think it probably did start a little bit before that, okay. because hearing is an underappreciated sense. It's one of the five senses, but it's often given the short shrift compared to, let's say, vision. Mm-hmm. But it is, as Jared said, the sense that connects us together. It really is the thing that enables us. Helen Keller, who suffered, unfortunately, both from blindness and deafness, said that while vision brings in the beauty of things in mm-hmm. the outside world, hearing is what connects us to each other, but it's often underappreciated until it's damaged. Hmm. And so I do think that audiology is a relatively young discipline. It really started after World War II. A lot of veterans started coming back in the 40s. And I also, after I finished my PhD, I had an opportunity to work at Walter Reed Army Medical Center in okay. Washington, D.C. Yeah. When they came back from the World War II conflict, a lot of soldiers had been exposed to
artillery fire
and tanks. Big guns on tanks and on ships and you know,
airplanes.
Lots and lots of noise exposure.
And nobody was wearing
No one was thinking about it at the time, because there is Michael Scholl, who heads up our division, in conversations that he's had with a lot of soldiers when we've been looking at ensuring that we can help them protect their hearing loss in service to their country, mm-hmm. They'll say better deaf than dead, because a lot of the hearing protection devices that have existed, while they provide some passive attenuation of sound in loud sounds, they don't enable you to hear things that you need to be aware of mm-hmm. in your environment. Now, hunting, same thing. You know, you want to make sure that if there are other hunters out in the field, walk in the fields, or if you're mm-hmm. in a situation that you know, if there's someone, you can hear them and let them know that you're right. there.
Or a dog moving through yep, the cover.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. And so a lot of that work started after World War II. People started wearing foamies and primitive hearing protection. I mean, throughout time, people have stuffed cotton in their ears mm-hmm. or other stuff. A lot of that's ineffective. But in earnest, after World War II, the discipline of audiology was formed in the late 40s, early 50s at Walter Reed, or the origins of Walter Reed. Hmm. And then it continued, I would say, through some of the mentors that I was fortunate to have, where they started looking at noise exposure in the workplace, where people were coming back and getting jobs in factories. And like my dad worked in a paper mill, mm-hmm. and I had the opportunity, I got a scholarship from the paper mill, had the opportunity to work there in the summers when I was going to college, and it was noisy. And even I was in college in the 70s. And so, like you said, at that time, there were already some requirements for people working in loud parts of the mill to wear hearing protection. But even so, I was a drummer, motorcyclist. I'm young, yeah. you know, yeah. at that time. I'm not young now. I was young, and I thought my ears were bulletproof.
Yeah. Yep.
And so whether you're hunting or anything else, you're not thinking about the fact that if you're causing damage due to exposure at work or play, doing the things you love, that you could be causing irreparable damage to hearing. And the sad part is, about the time that I got mature enough to start thinking about, okay, motorcycles, mm-hmm. drums, loud concerts, a lot of rockers from the 60s and 70s now are living with hearing loss and ringing in their ears. We call it tinnitus, or tinnitus, tomato, tomato. But that ringing in the ears goes on forever.
And you, Eber, interject, because you host the Starkey podcast, and before we turned on record, your most recent guest was Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
And in the kind of the wall of fame in the other building, there's Ozzy Osbourne.
Yep.
You know, hearing loss associated with music is a big deal.
Lots and lots of musicians from, you know, that heavier metal. But as we get older, we lose hearing.
Naturally.
And naturally, it's inextricably intertwined with living in an industrialized society, doing noisy things, and aging all go hand in hand. When I was in college as a youngster, they were still able to go find some of these cultures that were out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean where they weren't industrialized. Mm-hmm. Their hearing wasn't as bad at the same ages that we're showing more loss. So the consequence of living in an industrialized society is that aging and noise exposure go hand in hand, and that leads to a consequence of hearing loss as you get older. But hearing loss can strike at any age, and Jared's a prime example.
Yep.
You know, if you are exposed to lots of rounds of shooting, you know, or even one shot in close proximity, if someone shoots next to you and you don't have protection on, it can cause ringing, which is the ear's way of crying for help. Tinnitus is often, if you've ever been to a concert or been shooting, and you feel your ears are plugged or ringing, they feel stuffy, that is a sign of what is known as temporary threshold shift. TTS is what it's called in a little bit wonky. But that temporary loss can lead to a progression into permanent loss. But often if you come out of a concert or come out of where you're hunting and your ears feel plugged or they're ringing, that means that you were at levels that were likely to cause permanent damage if you continue. But the ear has a natural recovery cycle that when you're younger, after 24 hours, it will naturally recover a little bit.
Really?
But then over time, that damage builds up, and then it's not replaceable.
And I think, you know, from a hunter's perspective, for those that are listening to this podcast, I think every hunter's been there. I didn't wear hearing protection until 2018.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I wasn't wearing
hearing. How old were you roughly in 2018?
What was that? What am I, 32?
Okay. So you roughly spent 15 years hunting pretty hardcore, right, growing up. Without any sort of protection.
Grouse hunting, deer hunting.
Duck hunting.
Sighting in rifles.
What about going on a clay range?
Clay range, same thing.
You wouldn't wear any protection?
I never wore hearing protection. Huh. And it wasn't until those later years kind of leading up to 2018 that everybody knows what I'm talking about. When somebody blasts off next to you with a shotgun in a duck blind and you hear that just beep. Mm. And it just lasts. And in 2018... I remember it like it was yesterday. I did plenty of hunting that fall, and we got in. It was right before Pheasant Fest. I remember being outside. I was on my ATV plowing snow. We had a huge amount of snow that year. We had like 40 inches just in February alone. And I was plowing so much that the four-wheeler basically shut off, and I was trying to figure – I couldn't get it back on. And I was fiddling with it, and I turned it back on. And I was standing on the side where the tailpipe comes out the back, and it backfired, and it was loud. And I remember going inside and thinking, what the hell is going on here? My ear is ringing, and never before has it continued. It's always shut off. And it was like, it was a sustained ringing and sort of that muffled experience that you just talked about, Dave. And ever since then, that's when it started, and I wasn't even sure what tinnitus or tinnitus was at the time. But I can tell you from my experience, just before I was not in a good place. I had been diagnosed with sleep apnea not too long before then. So I was going through like CPAP. I was at work. I was having huge, I don't know if you remember this, Bob. I was having,
I'm your boss. I remember.
I was having monster headaches during the day at work. That was more due to my brain just not getting getting enough oxygen. But then you add this tinnitus aspect to it, and I had ears ringing, and I mean, I get a little emotional over it, because honestly, it's a quality of life issue. I remember being in my bedroom with my wife, just asking her, like, what the hell is wrong with me?
Huh.
I'm having huge issues. I mean, I went to Wyoming, Minnesota. I went up to the hospital there and ended up seeing somebody in sort of the neuro department. I mean, I thought I had a brain tumor. Mm-hmm. That's part, because I didn't know exactly what I was experiencing. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, any loud noise that I've ever been a part of, it can be shooting, it could be a parade with sirens going off, it could be going to, you know, a Foo Fighters concert, going to any type of concert, just loud noises in general, I can't do it anymore without wearing hearing protection. And that's where, honestly, sound gear has been a saving grace for me. And I mean that from a real personal place.
Well, first of all, thank you for sharing that story.
Yeah.
Because that's very personal, and I know it can be very emotional. And I've worked with a lot of patients over the years. I still get to work with patients now in my job. I work in the R&D in the building where you were. I work in the R&D building, but I also get to do some other fun stuff like the podcast, and I also get to work with patients who are wearing sound gear or are hearing aids as well. And this is something, your origin story is very similar to a lot of other people. And if I can make one appeal today out of this podcast, is that, you know, you were 32 before you realized. And unfortunately, in many ways, thank goodness, you know, you started to use protection at that time, but there was already some damage that had occurred. And so for the younger hunters who are listening, you know, start now, because you, with good hearing protection, you can continue to do what you love to do for many more years safely. And, you know, you raised the story earlier, Bob, about, you know, musicians, people that their passion is music,
right?
And whether it's composing or playing or whatever. But now, you know, you can talk or listen to any old rocker, and they'll tell you, you know, now they're not hearing things the way that they did when they were younger, and it's too late. And so the use of hearing protection is really important. And then also some of the experiences you've been going through, I'm sure others have as well experienced.
Yeah. And it wasn't until last year. So I started using the Soundgear InstaFits in 2018, and it really helped me. I switched over to the Phantoms last year when, Chris Callis and my team, you know, we were talking about our partnership with Soundgear, and what are some cool things that we can do to, and I just thought, you know what, I should tell my story, because I don't think it's unique to me. There's plenty of hunters out there. And then when you start asking around, like, especially when I started getting the ringing in my ears, I talked to a lot of people. Know Joe Dugan, he was an old partner of ours, or employee at Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. Joe knows everybody, you know. And I just, like, hey, have you ever dealt with this before? He goes, oh yeah, I got ringing in my ears right now. And you start talking with people and seeing, it's out there. There's a lot of hunters that have hearing related problems. And I just feel like Soundgear has been a really nice way for me to sort of deal with that. So that's when I came into the Center for Excellence, did the hearing tests, met with some audiologists, and really helped me kind of hone in on what it is that I need to do to protect myself for the future. And the point you made earlier about, you know, hunting's got a very visual aspect to it. Like, everybody loves those golden hues of fall, you know, hunting that golden hour. I see it off my porch every afternoon when the sun's coming down and beaming on 50 acres of grass right behind my house. But the hearing side of it, once, you don't know what you had until it's gone. And whether that's, you know, we got spring turkey coming up, hearing that gobble off in the distance, hearing a rooster pheasant crow, or cackle during the spring or in the fall when it's taking flight, that humming, that buzz of bobwhite quail when that covey's taking off, those are the things for me even more than the visual side. I mean, I love watching my dog and doing all that, and that's one of the big reasons I'm involved with it. But those sights and sounds, and I'm a big bow hunter as well. You know, hearing that we were teasing each other earlier, you know, hearing that pitter patter come through the woods, and that's a 30-point gray squirrel, or like 6-7 of them, you know, in a couple hour sit. But being able to hear those things, you know, wolves howl at my cabin off in the distance, that's just something you can't replace. So making sure you're protecting your hearing, I think, is extremely important.
Yeah, and one other point, if I may, you talked about the fact that when you first noticed it in 2018, and hunting. You know, hunters don't – there are other noisy activities that they like to do. You mentioned the ATV, and then it backfired, and that exacerbated the condition. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Foo Fighters. They like to go to concerts. Yep. They like to engage in other noisy activities, like all of us do.
Right. But it's worse.
And, yeah, if you're an outdoors person, you got a cabin, you're going to be working on stuff like that.
Yep.
And think about 24-hour day. Your ear has sort of this – When you have normal hearing and you're young, has sort of a 24-hour reset. So they talk about if you've been exposed to a large number of rounds, or when you're shooting practice, and if you for some reason didn't have hearing protection on, you gotta get away from noise for a 24-hour period, because there will, as long as there wasn't a critical level reached where there's instant damage that occurs. Just give it a break. And it's that people who like to be outdoors like to do other noisy hobbies, and it's farther than you think. And it's not just factory workers and not just people working construction. Dentists are at an elevated risk of hearing loss because of the drills and the suction historically have been very noisy and makes them very susceptible to noise damage as well. So your occupation and the things you love to do can aggregate over a 24-hour period, and it's really that overall exposure that you get in a 24-hour period that can contribute to the type of experience that Jared described. And so using protection can help lengthen the amount of time that you can do things safely, and also mean that over your life you can continue to have both the visual and auditory experiences that really create those memories. Huh.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm understanding correctly, so there really are two ways that are going to damage your hearing. One is maybe not the critical spike. Well, so I'll take that at a different angle. So the critical spike can definitely have the impact of one time damage your hearing, and that's kind of the ATV blast.
Yep.
Example.
Backfire.
Or sitting right next to somebody in a field blind and, you know, flock of mallards come in and boom, 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 and it just pops, and you immediately have long-term hearing loss.
Yep.
But there's also maybe it's not any singular critical spike, but over when it sounds like a 24-hour period without any rest, if you have a long-term heavy impact on your ears, with that can cause some long-term damage as well. Mm-hmm. But if you do get some rest from hearing, your ears recover.
There's some natural recovery. There's a term, again, to get a little, the equivalent level in a 24-hour period of noise, and it's the duration and the intensity.
Huh.
And that's a 24-hour clock, and it's the intensity of sound that you're getting over that equivalent level of in a 24-hour period. And then even getting a little wonkier, the OSHA and NIOSH requirements say what you can be exposed to in an 8-hour workday, and it's the intensity and the duration of tolerable limits before you should wear hearing protection. And that combines, the ear doesn't care whether it's music or noise or wildlife if it was super noisy. I mean, some if you get right near the mouth of a rabbits, you know, when they're under duress, can be a really loud screech. And anything either human or animal or machinery or music that exceeds a certain level and a certain duration of the exposure can place you at risk without protection.
So we're going to do one more bingo card here.
I'm excited for this one.
Because you didn't see this coming. Aaron Rodgers went on a darkness retreat.
Oh, no. Yep. Right? It was in one of our booths on campus.
The darkness retreat. Is there a benefit to a long-term silence where you can have kind of recover your hearing loss if you, you know, just escape for 3 days with, you know, you just absolutely no sound.
Wow, you are hitting all the bingo card, the corner cases,
yeah,
let's say.
Yeah, no doubt.
So this brings back a memory. Just now, I haven't thought about this in years. From a long time ago in a land far away, I was president of one of the audiology societies. And during that year, there was a magazine that was the equivalent of Maxim, like Details, it was called. And they were talking about a practice that in around 2000 was common, where people were thinking that rather than wearing earplugs or sound gear devices when you go to a concert, people were depriving themselves of sound by wearing hearing protection for 3 or 4 days before they went to a concert, and then thought that they were better able to enjoy all of the dynamics of a Foo Fighter concert by then removing the earplugs right before they went into the arena.
Cleaning the palate.
Wow. Cleaning the palate, cleansing the palate. And so I, as president of the American Academy of Audiology at the time, the Details magazine was doing a feature on this, and they asked me about it, and I said, this is bass-ackwards. This is exactly the wrong thing to do, because you should wear the hearing protection when you go into the Foo Fighters concert, not trying to enhance your experience by taking it out. And so I went through that explanation, and when it came out in print, they had all of these guys explaining how they were getting so much more enjoyment out of the concerts by depriving their hearing before they went in, taking it out right before. And then I said, and here's the reason why it could cause acoustic trauma. And they used some of the tech terms that I was speaking. And at the end, they said, whatever. And then the title of the article was, Are You Ready for an Eargasm? So there's your bingo card.
Eargasm.
There's your bingo card.
That's funny.
But no, my suggestion is for the hunters and the listeners of this, wear the hearing protection when you go into the environment. There is no reproducible or defensible research that shows for the majority of hearing losses, which are sensory in the
induced
damage has occurred at the level of the inner ear and along the auditory pathway. Depriving yourself of sound by going on a darkness retreat is not going to give you the answer that Aaron Rodgers was looking for as to whether he should have stuck with the Packers versus gone to the Jets.
Clearly, he should have stayed,
stayed with the Packers.
All right. So next, I want to go to how sound gear hearing protection works versus, you know, what you think of with hearing aids and Starkey's, you know, boosting up your hearing, right? And this is a little bit different when you're talking about in a hunting scenario. Before I go there, a shout out to OnX Hunt, our proud supporter of Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever's wildlife habitat mission. If you check the show notes to this episode of On the Wing podcast, you'll find a link to the OnX website. And if you use the code PFQF at that link, you get 20% off your subscription to OnX Hunt, and OnX will make a donation back to Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever's wildlife habitat mission. So thank you to OnX. OnX is on your website.
Yes, they are.
What's the connection between OnX and SoundGear?
So we are actually part of their elite member benefits.
Okay.
So if you are an OnX elite member, they've got a link to our website where you can get some nice SoundGear hearing protection with the discount on there as well. So.
Right on.
Cool. Yep. It's been a great relationship with OnX. They're great people, and I use that app every day.
Right?
Like, I find, not just hunting, but I find it road tripping or whatever, just kind of looking around and seeing what's going on with the world. I love it. So.
And you're on your way to South Dakota. As soon as we're done here, you'll probably call up the OnX fishing component.
Yep, exactly.
Find some walleyes in South Dakota.
Get to the right depth nice and quick instead of digging around. So.
Well, there you go. You got
yep.
Listeners have two ways to take advantage of a partnership with OnX, either through the SoundGear website or through the show notes. Either way, OnX is a tremendous partner, as is SoundGear. All right, so Starkey, kind of mentioned before we hit record, when I think of Starkey, I think of it's Jell-O, right? I mean, it's the brand name for hearing aids. It's the name that I've always connected with hearing aids. Sound gear, a little bit different hearing protection. So tell us a little bit about the technology, how the two differentiate.
You want to start or you want me to?
I'll
start about just the difference between hearing aids, and thank you for that about Starkey. I mean, we're very proud to be the only U.S.-based global manufacturer of hearing instruments.
The only.
Well, there's five major companies that make up the world market, the majority. There's smaller companies here and there, but the five major companies, four of the five are based outside of the U.S. Wow. We're the only U.S.-based headquartered company in the hearing aid space, and we're very proud of that. Since 1967, we've been based right here in Minnesota. Since 1975, we've been based right here in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. And the founder, Bill Austin, started with a single purpose to try to help everyone with hearing loss. And so the world may hear was one of his missions, and we say hear better, live better. And that applies to everyone if you acquire hearing loss, to try to get back in the game. And that is our singular focus. So it would seem strange then that a company that makes hearing aids would try to prevent hearing loss. But with 466 million people worldwide who have hearing loss, about 45 million in the U.S., the sad thing is, as a lifelong audiologist, now 42 years, the majority of people who have hearing loss that could be helped by amplification don't do something about it. It's related to stigma. So it's a topic for a different day.
But you're right. Like, we all have those folks that, dad.
You know? Mumble. You're mumbling.
Right.
Yeah. It's not my problem. It's your problem. And we're in denial. There's a stigma associated with it somewhere up in the head. Baby boomers, of which I'm a proud member of the baby boom generation, we have a little different attitude than the traditional generation. We say, I'm not as stigmatized now that everyone's wearing stuff in their ears all the time. I'm not as stigmatized about hearing loss or hearing aids, but I have higher expectations that they're going to connect to a phone, they can stream, they can do all of these other functions for me, as long as they can do all of that and do it well and hold up in quality, then I'm not as stigmatized by it.
I was there. Not that long ago. Yeah. And like nobody, I think there's a stigma too around like nobody wants to go to a hospital. Nobody wants to go see a doctor to think you need to be checked out for something. But it was an enlightening experience for me once I came to the Center for Excellence and actually met with people that knew what they were talking about versus me doing the Google search of doom, my own torture chamber at home, you know. Yeah. I mean, honestly, doom scrolling.
Yeah.
About what was this problem that I had, you
absolutely
know?
Yeah, it's like WebMD is the worst thing possible.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah,
you can go down many rabbit holes and find out all sorts of things. But I mean, look, we also want to raise awareness. And so it's important that people recognize that hearing loss is not just something that happens down the road.
Right, 70-year-old, right?
And old is really always 10 to 15 years older than I am.
Right,
so old is no longer 65.
Yep.
And so it would seem strange then that a company, a parent company like Starkey, would also be focused on hearing loss prevention. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, Brandon Sawalich, our president and CEO, is a strong commitment that he has, because there's plenty of business for us, regardless of whether we have people who are losing their hearing later in life or due to genetic conditions or some other thing that is not preventable. If we can focus on preventing hearing loss in people who want to hunt, who are involved. We have a partnership with NASCAR. And, if they're exposed to loud sounds, doing something, chasing their passion, but if it's a noisy activity, we find that we can, through sound gear, improve and innovate on technologies that merely provide passive attenuation, but then cut off the outside world, as we've been talking about. So sound gear.
So explain that for passive attenuation.
Passive attenuation. Stick your fingers in your ears and you've got passive attenuation.
Okay.
You're reducing sounds from getting to your ears by plugging or blocking that sound the way that stuffing cotton in your ears, which I don't recommend, or using foamy earplugs, which, again, provide protection but also isolate you from the rest of the world.
Right.
So now you can't hear game or friends or other fellow hunters or other sounds and locate them in the space. Because for hunting, not only knowing that there's another sound out there, but being able to effectively close your eyes, not that I want you to do that, but close your eyes and know where that sound is coming from. That spatial awareness is important for sighting game, and also locating other people who are also walking with you in a field.
Yeah.
And so what we said, well, we're making hearing aids, which are amplifying sound to offset the hearing loss that someone has. And they, all hearing aids are digital now. We're using artificial intelligence and deep neural networks to really provide and monitor and amplify sounds in an environment, no matter where you are, indoors or outdoors. The other thing is then to protect, we can also use that same technology but lower the maximum output so that it won't reach a damaging level, and provide amplification of soft sounds so that you can hear that 30-point squirrel walking around, but be confident that when the real 30-point or when someone else shoots at a 10-point buck, that it's not going to put it at a level that could be damaging or uncomfortable for you. So similar technology, we're selectively providing amplification to offset the plug that you've got in your ears for those soft and conversational level sounds, but then at the same time protecting at lower levels than we would for a hearing aid, because there's no hearing loss there, so that we don't reach a discomfort level, an uncomfortable level. So it's the combination of amplifying everyday sounds and protecting against loud sounds that makes sound gear different from a hearing aid, and also provides that measure of confidence and comfort that you can still be spatially aware of other sounds around you, which is important for safety.
Incredibly important. Like that, it's almost like the perfect scenario is where it's just natural sound without even any amplification, right? Where it's like, you know, my dog's on point over here, but when the bird flushes, you know, the dog didn't quite have it nailed, right? Like dog's looking here to my left, and the bird had moved a little bit, and the dog was trained to stop when ran into scent, but the bird kind of flushed over here. That natural sound connecting to my eyes, connecting to my swing, is where the magic happens, right? And if there's one component, eyes, upper body, you know, maybe you got a stiff neck, right? Or the sound, like if there's one component that's a little bit off, you know, your ability. I'm making all kinds of
it's
shooting
the difference
excuses,
between it's
right?
a yeah. difference.
Exactly. Yeah. Sun was in my eye.
That was it.
But the
important
component.
Point you make, you don't hear with your ears any more than you don't see with your eyes. Your eyes are sensors sending light inputs to your brain. Your ears are picking up acoustic sound, sending input to your brain. When you're moving your muscles, when you're walking on your feet, you're getting that feedback that is all sent to the brain. And the brain is really where all of that is integrated. And then any little bit is coordinated together that helps you spatially locate on the basis of vision, hearing, your body motion, and then getting to aim at the right place, that all has to be a symphony of perfection,
right?
And it occurs at the brain, not at the periphery.
And it's incongruent to what you're trying to prevent in the hearing loss, which is, right, you're trying to have kind of transparent, I think is the word you guys use, transparent, sound.
Yeah.
Transparent sound, which is natural, is kind of my word for it. But that moment that you pull the trigger, that's where the hearing loss can happen. And this is the part that I can't quite imagine. Like the moment you pull the trigger and the blast happens, where sound gears work is that instant moment, it prevents that blast from causing damage. How the heck does that work? Right?
Very, very fast time constants that immediately attenuate or reduce the sound. Yes. And prevent the. And then plus we have a solid a threshold, if you will, that we don't ever allow the sounds to exceed. When we've got a couple different levels. Do you want to talk about the 80 and the 93? And
So, I mean, depending on which product, we got a couple options on. I mean, with our custom side, you know, the Phantom isn't going to do anything over 90 decibels. That's going to be the max output. The Silver is going to be at 95 decibels, so there's a little bit more there. But still, for, I mean, obviously, a long sustained, we want to be below that to protect your hearing. But kind of in those impulse moments, you're getting that protection that you need without exceeding or adding to.
So let's cover that again just a little bit. So a Phantom is a custom molded sound gear hearing protection, right?
Correct. Yeah, I shouldn't take for granted that everybody knows what we're talking about.
And that's kind of the top of the line.
Yep.
Right? Then the next step is the Silver.
Correct.
And are those custom molded?
They are also custom molded. So meaning custom molded being that we take impressions of your ears and we build this product to fit you specifically.
So those two top levels, you do have to go to an audiologist to get your ears molded.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
And then that audiologist sends the molds or the sizing.
Yep, impressions. Yep.
That come here to Starkey Labs, right, in Eden Prairie. And then we saw just fascinating that those dimensions get produced in a 3D printer, right? Mm-hmm. Like with plastic molded to fit your ear canal, which is unique to everybody as fingerprints.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
Yep. No, it's amazing. As we saw today, not only just, you know, scanning in those impressions to make digital scans of them, but then, you know, there's still the human element to making them because you got to fit all the components in there. And like you mentioned, everybody's ears are different. It's a different fingerprint. It's a little bit different outlay to make, you know, all those components fit and work and replicate, you know, to get the natural sound as much as you can coming through.
Okay. So what's the and then the third level would that of the product line is that the Insta?
So that would be the Instant Fit, or now we can jump into my teaser from earlier
a little bit here. Here we go. So when this comes out, there'll be a brand new product coming.
Yes, we will have what we are calling the Soundgear Shield product.
Okay.
So this is the one electronic that we make that is a non-custom product. So it's a universal fit. It is an active or electronic hearing tech protection product. So it is going to be, you know, allowing you to still hear your surroundings going on around you. But whenever there is that sound that goes off, you're wearing your plugs and protecting your hearing. So we are extremely excited about this product. We kind of, you know, didn't really base it off of a hearing aid to move it back. This was completely built from the ground up with new components internally, new circuitry, new chips inside of it. A brand new form factor for those who maybe are familiar with our other Instant Fit. You know, this one's going to be a lot more comfort fit in the ear just because of the way it was produced and the different options that we do have for, you know, the buds or flanges that go on there to fit the product and fit a more diverse size of ears.
We got a nice kind of behind the scenes view of everything today, how these are manufactured. And as somebody in 2018 who started with the Insta Fits, this new Shield product, I think is pretty revolutionary, and for a couple different reasons. Number one, I really like the lanyard.
Yes.
And that's
can't take for granted that losing them is a big deal.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes. The old Insta Fits, they didn't have a lanyard with them. I've seen people try to do, you know, like paper clips with a small piece of twine or something like that. But I've lost them in the past and had to replace them. Not that big of a deal, especially when you think about like protecting your hearing and still being able to experience the thrill of the flush, or the, you know, that gobble, deer coming through the woods, squirrel, whatever it might be. So the lanyard was huge.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that new concept. Can you talk a little bit about the battery saver? Because
yes.
I know they've got a new battery saver concept here that, you know, whether you like it or not, you've heard in the past that like, oh, I've got to buy the 10 pack of batteries, a size 10 batteries that go with that. And you put them in and, you know, for a 4 or 5 day hunt, they last. You're using two of them, one for each of the InstaFits. And then after that, you know, those batteries are done and you got to go on to something new. So talk a little bit about the new battery saver that comes with it. Cause I think that's pretty revolutionary for being able to make a pack of batteries go a long ways.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's an awesome feature that we have on there as well. So just a little history is the batteries that are used in hearing aids and for our hearing protection, they're air celled batteries. So you'll notice if you use them, there's a little sticker on the back that you have to remove.
Mm-hmm.
Once you remove that sticker, it comes in contact with air, and that essentially what activates the battery. But that also starts the clock on the lifespan of that battery as well. So even if it's not being used in your device, you have it set out to the side, it's still slowly depleting that battery. Well, now in our case, what we have is we have a spot where you can put extra batteries to have in your case with it. But also when you get done using the batteries that are in your device, you put them in the holding slot, and that will actually clamp down and essentially deactivate that battery. So you are getting a more, you know, true to actual lifespan of that battery versus, like you said, you've got 4 or 5 days, or if you're a weekend warrior for either shooting sporting clays like I do, and it was always every weekend, new batteries. Well, now just one less thing to kind of have to worry about and having, you know, oh, did I forget my batteries or not today?
And talking with one of your techs, I think he said that the lifespan of one of those batteries now is 80 hours of use.
Yeah, I mean, the batteries, I mean, depending on size, but those typically have, yeah, I think with our kind of own testing, we've been at that 80 hours where normally that's getting you through.
And if you think about that, being able to put those back and save those, I mean, 80 hours of hunting, like that's a lot. So you can make those battery packs go a long ways during the season, which I think is a really, really great feature in the new shields.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not just your 80 hours of, you know, real time. It's 80 hours of actual in the ear use, in the product use of it. So,
yep. That's awesome.
Yep.
So three products, you can check them all three out at soundgear.com.
Yep.
Right. Two of the three products, you do have to go to an audiologist, right?
Correct.
What's the, give it a ballpark for pricing on the Phantoms and the custom Phantoms and the Silvers?
On the custom side, you're looking $1,000 to $1,600 for those. The new Shield product here, we're going to be retailing at $399.
And the Shield product is going to be available online. You don't even have to go to a audiologist.
Correct. Right? Yep. It can be ordered right through our website. Actually, you can do that with our custom products as well. They can be purchased right through the website. And what that does, just like any online shopping, makes things a little more convenient. Mm-hmm. So you go through, put it in your cart and order the product. Promo codes and things like that for discounts can be placed in there as well. And then what we will do is we will give you a call once that order is placed, and we will help find a local audiologist in your area, and we will schedule you an appointment with them to have the impressions made.
So I get this. I work, you know, let's say game fair up in Anoka. You know, a lot of hunters know the connection between Sound Gear and Starkey and Sound Gear and Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. And they're like, geez, I really want to do this, but $1,600 customs is a challenge to get over. How do you guys answer that?
It is. What is the price of better hearing? What is the price of preserving your hearing? Mm-hmm. And I would be remiss if I didn't say on the Phantoms in particular, the price points you're talking about, rechargeable batteries. Mm-hmm. You can stream so that when you could use them when you're not hunting for
working out.
You could use them for other purposes, streaming music, streaming podcasts like this, when you're working out, and use them. So it isn't, I say, you know, what is the price of better hearing? Look at the other, think of it as another piece of technology that you use that augments you to be a better hunter and also be able to extend your time that you're going to be able to hunt over your life by not damaging your hearing and not observing all that you eloquently describe, the vision and the hearing of that ability to experience what you enjoy longer. But yeah, I know. I mean, the technology, there's a lot of technology in those devices. I know that cost, everyone's on a fixed income. It just depends where that income is fixed. But you think about other things that you love to do in the technology that you do to improve your sighting, your shooting, all of the different technology. This is another piece of technology that is investing in you in the same way you think of going to work out so that you can walk the fields. This is enabling your ears to exercise longer and do what you love to do over a longer period of time.
It's another piece of gear in your hunting repertoire. Yeah. And then it's also, I keep going back to, like, I'm dead set. Like, this is it's a quality of life issue. That's what it's helping you protect, and you really can't put a price on that. I worked with, we've got a Pheasants Forever member. He's part of a chapter. His name is Brooks Vanderbeek. Bob probably knows him from back in the day too. We had him on a lot, covers on magazines and inside of our magazines for stories and whatnot. And he reached out to me and said, "Hey, have you ever tried the Sound Gear?" And I ran him through my whole spiel. Like, it is going to change the way you look at and view and go out into the field and do the things you like to do. And he's just like me. He loves to hunt deer. He loves to hunt ducks. He loves to hunt upland birds. and even a 30-point squirrel once in a while. So, you know, being able to use that technology and protect his hearing for when you get older. I mean, I see it in my own father. He's never worn hearing protection ever. He hasn't taken the dive to get the Phantoms yet, but he's been using the InstaFits for as long as I've used them since 2018. Yeah. And he even uses them around the house now just to be able to hear things. And I keep telling him, like, you should go in and see an audiologist and actually go through it and actually get some hearing aids for when you're, you know, in those sort of residential settings. For the hunting side, he loves using the InstaFits. He uses them at the cabin, and we're hunting every fall. So I guess that'd be my advice.
And I think that the important point, not everybody's going to want the connectivity and those features or the rechargeability and having the ability to have the battery saver on the shield. Mm-hmm. And at that price point, I think is in a price budget that can meet most people's needs.
Absolutely.
You guys are taking me exactly where my mind was. And kind of the final question of this portion is, you know, if you think about the Phantoms as sort of the Cadillac, right, the gold standard and 100 out of 100 quality in, you know, what you aspire to, what's the shield at? Like, if you could you put it on the spectrum of a 100-point scale, like, how would you rate it?
I would put it up there. I mean, it really is, and I feel I've used it, all right? I got to be a test dummy. And heavy on the dummy part, but I got to test it out when I was out, you know, duck hunting and stuff earlier this fall. And I mean, the sound quality is amazing. I mean, what that product is meant to do is it doesn't give you like as much enhancement like with our Phantom or with our Silver product. Mm-hmm. You can adjust the level of amplification, get up to 30 decibels. So if you're in the normal hearing range, you know, it gives you a little enhancement and takes you over. This new Shield product is meant for you to just have your natural hearing.
Gotcha.
So it's just enough amplification to overcome what we call insertion loss, plus a little bit more. So it's, I mean.
So if you're looking for just something straight up to use when you're hunting that's a little bit more affordable, this Shield product is the starting point for you.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah, I think it comes down to functionality, right? Like, if
that's exactly what I was going
to
say.
If you want to stream and do those types of things, wonderful. It's got, you know, sort of more the directional microphones and things in it. That's technology. That's a higher price point, but it's I can tell you from experience, from when I use the InstaFits, and I'll be getting my kids when they get into turkey hunting this year, these new Shields when they come out. Mm-hmm. It's a reasonable price to protect something that you can't put a price on.
And especially for those listeners that have kids that are hunting, start them young and prevent that hearing loss from occurring before the damage is done. I can tell you one last anecdote. When I was at the University of Miami for a while, they have a really good music school for kids that are interested in music as a career, going back full circle to what we talked about aging rockers. Mm-hmm. So when I was there in about 2008, we decided to start testing the hearing of every incoming music major, freshman. Mm. And many of those kids, 17, 18 years of age, already had some hearing loss because they were in practice rooms and they were performing. And we're not just talking about heavy metal. These are violinists who are, you know, the source of the noise right there.
Right.
And many of those music majors who had a passion for music were looking at a career, and they were already dealing with damage. Mm. Similarly, I think for many people who've grown up in hunting families, don't overlook that those kids, if it's loud to you, it's loud to them. Mm. And the damage that they're going to get when you want to start them on their passion early, you know, what's the price of better hearing and preserving that?
I think that's a really good point. And my daughter is getting ready to go into sixth grade, and she's looking at what instrument she's going to do right now. Just went and toured the middle school. She's jacked about it. I mean, that's a real world scenario, right?
Where I'm hunting and practicing.
Yeah. And even like, you know, last night away from music, last night was, we had record, I think it was 52 degrees or whatever in the Twin Cities. Girls wanted to go out and shoot the .22 at pop cans. I took the InstaFits out, you know, put them in their ears to protect them. So all good stuff from music, to hunting, to Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters.
is there something I should know about the Foo Fighters have had more name drops in this episode.
I know. I love a lot of different bands. I saw the Rolling Stones when they were here just a couple of years ago. In the Twin Cities, but I love going to concerts, and the only reason I can still do it now is being able to wear my sound gears, because I just can't take that loudness level without walking out of there and feeling like I'm just stuffed up and a headache, and it doesn't feel good. And if you've ever been there before, there's plenty of people listening to this podcast that know exactly what I'm talking about.
Did you know Sound Gear is the presenting sponsor of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Really?
I'm just kidding.
Not yet.
Maybe, though. Maybe.
All right, let's go around the horn, closing thoughts. First of all, you know, obviously, thank you for creating this technology to support hunters so we can continue to do what we love. But also thank you for supporting wildlife habitat conservation. There's an awful lot of companies in this world that just wants to market to hunters, right? Sell more product to bird hunters. But you guys also step up and make a contribution to our wildlife habitat mission. So we have places that we can access Mother Nature, you know, public lands for us to go walk behind a bird dog, to experience those sights and those sounds that Jared talked about, to filter our waters, to clean, you know, healthy soils and habitat for monarch butterflies. And your contributions from Sound Gear going to our organization allows us to do that. So thank you very much on behalf of the organization for the, you know, the long-term support as conservation partners. So as we round this out, you know, start, Doctor, with you.
Well,
what's a closing thought to wrap this up for us?
Closing thought is, you know, everyone reflect on for themselves, their kids, their family member, what's the price of better hearing? Mm-hmm. And then with regards to this conversation, I thoroughly enjoyed the breadth and depth of conversation. I think I'll go ahead and call bingo, because my bingo card is full with all
cocaine,
of the different.
Yeah, we got Alice Cooper, Darkness Retreat.
Eargasm.
What was it?
Eargasm.
Yeah,
there we
go.
Covered it all. But
I was a little worried it was going to be a infomercial, but I mean, we got eargasm.
Yeah.
We're good.
Thank you for what you do with your organization, because it really is something. Conservation is something important to all of us, regardless of what you do with your time. So thank you.
Yeah,
I would agree. I mean, thank you guys. I mean, our partnership with you guys, I think dating back almost 8 years now, I feel has been great. I absolutely love when we go to Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic, not just because you see the same exhibitors there, but you see the same faces of people that attend that show, and it just shows, I would say, how much of a following and how many people are passionate about conservation. I just remember whenever we drive through South Dakota to go, you know, to go pheasant hunting, my father-in-law and brother-in-law have been going out there a lot longer than I have, and we drive through these fields that are all, you know, crop fields and stuff like that now, and they just tell me the stories of all the birds they shot. Just really shows me the importance of, you know, the conservation and keeping these lands available for us to be able to enjoy, not only now, but like with us, with our kids coming up, getting our kids out there as well. So really appreciate the partnership with you guys, and thank you for all you do. I do have an exclusive offer for anyone listening to the podcast today. We're going to have a special discount code that you can use on our website to get $300 off our Phantom hearing protection.
$300.
Yep. Is it code eargasm?
I might have to go back. I actually might have to go back.
Perfect timing. That's awesome.
I didn't know this was coming.
This is awesome.
$300 off on what?
On the Phantom hearing protection.
Okay.
The code, it's going to be all capital letters. It's just going to be on the wings.
On
the wing.
No
singular.
S. Yeah.
Singular. On the wing. Put that in once you put the product in your cart. Once you go to checkout, you'll be able to put that code in, and that'll get you $300 off the Phantom. So please take advantage of it.
Terrific.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And Dr. Dave, you just handed me your
it's
card.
It's really there.
It does say that, Chief Hearing Health Officer. Is there anybody that has that title else in the country?
Not that I'm aware of. Titles are, you know, it's not what the title isn't what's important. The important thing is I love what I do. And every day, 42 years into my career, how many people can say that they absolutely love what they do and get up with enthusiasm? So titles don't mean much, but I don't know anyone else who has that title. I like it.
I don't know anyone. You're kind of a unicorn. Jared, you very eloquently put together your thoughts on the importance of hearing protection as a hunter. Put a bow on this episode for us.
don't let the stigma of hearing loss and actually getting it checked out. You need to overcome that. Go see somebody. Go get it checked out. You're going to hear more about my personal story coming up in a blog. I'm going to dive into it a little deeper, and I hope people will take some time to actually sit down and read that. Overcome the stigma. Use hearing protection. It's a life changer, especially for somebody like me that has dealt with hearing loss, and I've seen it in my family, and I just can't say enough good things about the products that I'm using from Soundgear to battle that.
Awesome. Yeah. Last word, let's say that code one more time.
Yes, the code on the wing, all capital letters, $300 off some Phantoms. So.
And soundgear.com.
Soundgear.com.
There you go. Folks, thank you very much for spending this hour with us listening to a very important, under-discussed topic of hearing protection, especially for us as bird hunters. I'm Bob St. Pierre reminding you to always follow the dog. Something good will rise. Thanks for listening, folks.